It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
I'm your host, Tommy Ashley. You're listening to the Inside Carolina podcast, sponsored by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Got on the beat, recording this Monday night, early Monday evening, ahead of LSU Tigers, Clemson Tigers. Before the end of this show, we'll make our predictions before that game kicks off. So we either look like experts or idiots when you listen to this podcast in the morning. But I'm going to go to Greg Barnes first. I've got Greg, Ross, and Gregory with me. Greg, news earlier, Jeremiah Francis injury update. As if the injury bug could get any worse for North Carolina. It looks like it might have with Francis's issues being a problem for this North Carolina basketball team, even with a week off ahead of Pittsburgh up there.
Yeah, and that's one of the challenges, I think, when you're trying to manage a lineup and you've got so many injuries. And I think as members of the media and as fans, we tend to look at these situations in terms of absolutes. You know, if he's playing, he's healthy, he's good to go. If he's not, then he's out and he can't manage. And most of the time, there's an area of gray. And I think that's what we have with Jeremiah. He came back and played against Virginia, and I think all of us were surprised at how well he played, even in spot minutes, you know, a month ago, after having basically off 2 years due to knee injuries. And so there really was this line of, okay, how much do we play him for fear of him getting worn out too soon? You know, at what point does it become an issue with his health? And I don't know that there is a very clear marker there. And that's the challenge of saying, okay, we need him clearly because now Cole's out and we really don't have another point guard other than KJ, and you know, Leakey can spell it for bits. But if Jeremiah can go and he's telling us he can go, we have to play that hand. And so you have to listen to the player. You have to kind of get a feel for how he's actually producing and how he seems to be, regardless of what he may say. So there's a lot of juggling and trying to decipher how somebody feels and those kind of things. And I think that's what we've run into, is that he probably overdid it a little bit too much. He tried to press. Once Roy let us know after the Pittsburgh game that he wasn't even sure if Jeremiah was going to go, kind of warning signs flashed in my head that I wonder if he's kind of hitting a wall, which would make sense given what all he's been through. And you know, these kids that come to Carolina, they come to school to play, and they have a very limited window in which to do so. So they're willing to play through some pain, especially I would imagine in Jeremiah's case, because they haven't played much the last couple of years. And it just really seems as though he just kind of hit that wall. Did he push it too far? That remains to be seen. That's kind of what we're waiting to hear in terms of how severe it is. Is it just a matter of, yeah, it's a sore, he needs to take some time off, he needs to pull back a little bit, or did it go so severely in the wrong direction that he did too much and actually hurt himself? That's going to be a longer injury. That's speculation right now. We don't know what the results of these tests are going to be that North Carolina was running this morning and I guess over the weekend. But that obviously, even without Cole back yet, that's a big component of how this team is going to be able to play in the next couple of weeks and even until March as they're trying to battle for postseason contention.
Ross, you wrote the column after the Clemson loss, rock bottom, and it's an interesting thread on the message boards. I guess losing to Clemson and ending that streak could be considered rock bottom, I think, for the fan base, maybe. I don't know if it's necessarily at that point for the team. I said something over the weekend. They're trying to pile 100-plus years of bad mojo into one season. Your take on what's transpired over the last few weeks? I mean, because we leave the Bahamas and they look pretty strong or they look pretty good, and it's gone completely sideways since then.
Yeah, and I would say that
rock bottom is fluid. You know, that could change. I mean, it could be a new rock bottom in a couple of weeks. But right now, I mean, that Clemson loss was pretty bad, and this is the way it happened. We don't need to dive in too much on, you know, all that went down that game. But, I mean, I'll point to some positives. I mean, up until the last 2 minutes, you know, this team looked pretty decent against a really bad Clemson team. They just couldn't put it all together. And, you know, Leaky Black had two of those turnovers in the final 2 minutes. And that goes back to, you know, point guard issues. I think missing Cole, obviously, is just a huge – is really handicapping this team. And we saw how much they relied on Cole in the first 9 games. And then kind of the worst nightmare happened without him. They've really suffered to produce. But you saw, I think Brandon Robinson's had a couple of really nice games with shooting, maybe not the best percentages, but he's making threes. That's something this team couldn't do for a while there. And I think you're starting to see, you know, Garrison Brooks been really consistent. And you're seeing Maycott getting back. So beyond all the gloom and glum that we've, you know, it's kind of hard to talk about. I think there were, you know, some glimmers of hope in the last 2 games. But beyond that, I mean, not closing games, being there and having a chance to beat Pitt and have a chance to beat Clemson and not coming through is severely disappointing. And like I think we've mentioned before, these last 3 ACC games were a chance for UNC to stack wins because they're at home. They're against lesser opponents compared to the rest of the ACC. And they've been 0-3 and then now sit at 1-4 in the ACC. And then it gets a little tougher as they go on the road and then play, you know, the harder teams in the conference. So, I don't want to be super negative. So I point to some of the positives, and I think Brandon Robinson's performances and some of the big men is good stuff from Tar Heels.
I agree there. I mean, there's some positives out there. I'm not sure how good Clemson is, but Gregory, something that stood out to me. I mean, Brandon Robinson, of course, was. Pretty solid in the first 38 minutes. I thought Armando Baycott was really good at times, you know, Oregon game good at times. But the question is, after a Clemson collapse like that, and this is where senior leadership and coaching, I think, really, really comes in, and we'll see about that in the rest of this season. But how does this team bounce back from it? I mean, it's one thing to lose a game. It's another thing to be on a massive losing streak or losing trend for guys that are always used to winning, both in high school and in college, and a coach that's used to winning at every stop he's ever had. I mean, how does the team bounce back, Gregory?
I think it's similar to Ross's take just there. He didn't want to be super negative because, I mean, that's the aura around the team, and that's kind of where everyone's minds are at. And whether it's extreme negativity or just kind of like, well, this season sucks. But I mean, if you're the players, if you're the coaches, you got to look at those games. Yes, the beginning of the Georgia Tech game was awful. Letting Pittsburgh claw back in the second half was not great, and probably not as bad as the start of the Georgia Tech game, but it was still pretty bad. I mean, blowing a 9-point halftime lead to Pittsburgh, who's not that great of a team either, is definitely not great. And then you play 38 minutes of pretty solid basketball, the better basketball than you played the last 2 games. Then, I mean, we all know what happened with that. But you look at those games and you see, all right, we needed someone to step up and be a leader and be a scorer, which we haven't really seen since Cole. That's what Garrison did. Against Georgia Tech. And then Brandon Robinson against Clemson goes off for 27. And in the Pitt game, they controlled the majority of that first half. So you look at those moments in the film room and things, and you go, look, we're capable of doing certain things right. And then you look at the negative and like, this is how we can turn these bad plays and these blunders and these mental errors into successes. And it's not great. And I guess it's bad timing that you're headed towards, you got a week off to go 2 games on the road. That's obviously not beneficial. You kind of wanted those takeaways to start, like you said, with these 3 home ACC games that were all winnable. But yeah, I mean, I think that's where you go from here as far as a confidence standpoint with these players is, look, you're not doing 40 minutes of awful basketball. There are bright spots, and that's what you need to look for, because if you stay too much in the negativity, that's when you've got your head hanging low, and that's when you feel like you can't do anything right, and that does not help a poor shooting team, because like Roy always loves to say, everything looks better when the ball goes in the basket, but the ball needs to go in the basket for it to look better, and it's not going to do that if they're negative. So I think that's where they go from here.
Greg, something I've thought of watching that game, reading the message board, seeing the post-game press conference over the last few games is, whose responsibility is it? And I know a lot of people on the boards want to blame the coaches. A lot of people want to blame the players. It's a combination of both, clearly. But in a situation where Carolina's a team that doesn't have a ton of game experience or valuable game crunch time experience coming down to the wire coming into the season, and now they've lost back-to-back games in somewhat similar fashion, one not as epically as the other, but nobody on the team has been there except for maybe Garrison Brooks, but especially not guard play, has been in that fight at the end where you've got to put your foot down. Therefore, I think Roy Williams needs to step up some and provide maybe more leadership than even he's used to having to provide for his team. I mean, is that a fair statement?
I think it's an interesting conversation, and somebody posted on the board about it. And I think it's legitimate in terms of some of his best teams. And granted, a lot of his teams are really good. So you could say this for most of his teams. He's dead set on being like, you got yourself into this mess, you're going to get yourself out of it. And that's how he teaches. Like, people get riled up in a game against Wofford like last year in December, and it goes poorly, and they're like, oh, he should have called timeouts, blah, blah, blah. He does it for a reason. And when you have a lot of talented people in your roster, they can grow from that, and they can learn from that, and they understand not to lean on a timeout or something like that to change how the game's being played. It's their responsibility to change it. But when you have a roster like this one, and a lot of it's, of course, due to injury, but also similar to that 2010 team. That team was also injured, but did not have the talent that a lot of the other teams did. And I think those are unique seasons in that maybe Roy, does he need to take a bigger role? Does he need to call timeouts earlier, in like a late game situation to make sure his players understand exactly what's going on, understand the perspective of, look, we're up 10. It's okay. We don't have to be perfect. We just need to execute. Just make the easy pass, slowly work your way down the court. As he said at the teleconference on Monday, by his count, there were 7 moments in the final 2 minutes that all had to go against UNC for Clemson to force overtime. And all 7 went against North Carolina. And so if you take a timeout or you're able to communicate with your team, settle them down just a little bit, maybe only 5 of those things go wrong and you squeak out of there with a 3-point victory or whatever, 1-point victory, whatever it may be. I think that's valid in terms of, is he putting too much on the players? Personally, I think the bigger issue is leadership. And Cole Anthony has that leadership capability. He's not on the court. And yes, Brandon Robinson is a senior, and I think he does a fine job. He's been a role player his entire career. And I think if you look at how some of these post-game interview sessions have gone, Garrison gets very short, very upset, very emotional. And I think that the person that Gregory and Ross can correct me if they think I'm wrong, but Andrew Playtech, when we talk to him, it's like, wow, this kid is refreshing. Like he's offering great perspective about, it's not Roy's fault. We're the ones on the court making the mistakes. That's great of him, and that shows what kind of coach he is, that he's trying to take the burden off of us. We have to do better. We have to do these things better. I've got to do these things better. You don't necessarily hear those things from Garrison and Brandon, at least in those settings. And even the last 5 years, right? after North Carolina lost some bad games during Marcus Page's first couple of years, he had a very intellectual approach to how we talked to media after the games. Look, we lost. We lost because we did this and this and this. We needed to do this and this and this, right? Joe Barry, what did he do? He got pissed. We are not playing the way we need to be playing. We have to do this better. I'm not standing for this. That's how he approached it. And then Theo Pinson was more of a guy that, yeah, Joel's all ticked off over there. I'm more upbeat. Yeah, we lost. It's okay. We're going to lose games. We have to learn from it. We have to get better. And so they're very, very different leadership styles, but they were all effective. And you just have to wonder, how effective are those leadership styles being right now? I'm not in the locker room, so I don't know. But the way that you see kind of things transpire in some of these games, I think that's where growth needs to occur. And that's where the team, in order for them to keep everything together late in games and not to panic and to play with poise, they need somebody on the court with them saying, guys, settle. We're okay. This is fine. It's not a big deal. We can make a mistake or two. We're all right. And I don't know that I've seen that in some of these instances. And I think that's a bigger issue than Roy, although I do think the coaching staff, for the reasons that we've talked about, does have to take a more significant role in that leadership component.
Little breaking news here, guys. UNCW just fired C.B. McGrath, longtime Roy Williams assistant and UNC assistant. Just happened.
Interesting.
Ross had a – that's right. Ross had a pretty good idea of that a couple days ago.
Yeah. So I'd be interested to see if he comes back to Roy's bench, because I don't think he's going to be hired anywhere else. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with UNC assistants. But I just wanted to add a little tidbit on what Greg said in the post-game locker room. I kind of want to call Garrison out. I mean, that guy is a sad sack after losses. And as a junior, you have to be a leader and you have to just confront the media, talk, answer questions directly. And he was given 1, 2, 3-word answers, speaking under his breath, no eye contact. Brand Robinson's been better. I thought he was pretty good and gave some really interesting and insightful quotes after the loss against Clemson. Playtech's great. Baycott's great. I mean, he's a freshman. He hasn't gone through this. He hasn't had much training, and he's been good as well. I don't even know if it's just me complaining, but it just sucks when these players can't just kind of man up after losses and just treat it. It happens. It's part of the game. If you don't play in the NBA, you're gonna lose 50 times a year. Sometimes you have to do that all the time after, and that's my soapbox.
I don't necessarily disagree. I see a lot of heads hanging down. I mean, get your head up. I think one of those videos from a couple of years ago, I can't remember who it was, what team it was. Kid misses free throws. He's walking down the court with his head hanging down, and one of his teammates come and pushes his chin up. I mean, I think that's a valid point, Ross. I mean,
yeah. And one thing, I mean, think about if you played for Wake Forest. I mean, you lose 20 games a year. And UNC, Brooks is not used to losing, and so these are really tough for him. But think about if you played for some of these other ACC teams, how much you would have to respond to the media. It's just, right. I think it's a little maturity thing there.
Well, my thing is, losing, I mean, obviously, like you said, they're not really used to losing that much. But when you ask him kind of, Greg, you mentioned Playtech and give me all the Playtech quotes, but Playtech and Armando and Justin Pierce, even Jeremiah, you kind of ask them like what needs to be different, what needs to change, and they give you an answer like this is what we did poorly. It's not specific because, I mean, the game just ended. They've got a lot going through their heads, but, I mean, after it was either the Ohio State game, which was kind of like the first really depleting loss, I guess. But you ask Garrison, what needs to be different? Like, what are you guys not doing? And he just goes, I don't know, man. And I don't think he's deflecting. Like, I actually feel like he isn't sure, which, I mean, yes, it's right after the game. You haven't looked at film yet, but you can still have a sense, especially because other players are explaining to you what needs to be done differently. And it's not just, oh, I got to make shots. Like, they give more specifics. So that's my thing with Garrison and B-Rob. Like, if you're the two leaders, you got to at least give a little more than, I mean, if your head's down, fine. Like, I don't really think that bothers me as much. Like, yes, get your head up would be beneficial, would be better, but it's more of the, I don't know what we need to do. Like, you're the leader. That's kind of your job. Right.
Yeah. It's funny. Ross mentions Wake Forest. I had a Wake Forest, big wig Wake Forest fan come up to me today and say, welcome to our world. As far as the basketball season, I was like, no, y'all got that pretty well cemented, your world. But yeah, get it all out in one season. Let's take a short Johnny T-shirt break. Johnny T-shirt and JohnnyT-shirt.com. Sponsors of this podcast, great friends of Inside Carolina, great friends of Inside Carolina subscribers, because if you're a subscriber, you get 10% off of Johnny T-shirt on Franklin Street and online. All the Carolina gear you need at Johnny T-shirt, 24/7 on JohnnyT-shirt.com. Great shipping, great customer service, anything you could ever possibly want, Carolina related, basketball, football, all the sports. Johnny T-shirt, spring games coming up. You're going to need some new Carolina football gear coming up in April. Go see them on Franklin Street when you're in town for that. Ross, let me come to you. When I mentioned the Roy Williams thing, I felt like maybe Roy Williams needs to do more than he normally does. And let me say, a lot of people say, you know, Roy Williams is a great coach when he's got all the great talent. Well, yeah, who's not? But if just rolling the ball out when you had a great team was all that a coach had to do, then somebody like Coach K or Calipari and all those guys would have dozens of national championships. It doesn't work that way. Even when you have great talent, you still have to coach them up. But this season, like I said earlier, I think that maybe he needs to provide more maybe in-game than he's ever had to do in the past, because he doesn't have guys like Barry or Page or Pinson or whoever on this squad. And I thought that really reared its head against Clemson and against Pitt and even at the beginning of Georgia Tech. I'm not knocking his coaching ability like some have done. I think that's pretty ridiculous and it speaks for itself. But I think maybe that could be something. When you ask what needs to change, it's one thing to ask the players what needs to change. Yes, they need to do more. But it goes both ways, I think, Ross. And you seem surprised by my comment. I was just curious as to why.
Sorry, got the mute on. I was just surprised you calling out Roy. I just thought it was funny. But, I mean, I think Greg said it was right. You know, like calling more timeouts, this might be the year you have to do that, and you can't let these long, long runs happen, or just to make sure these young players know what's going on with time and situation. And because the leaders on this team have never led before, and some of the point guards have never played point guard before. Jeremiah Francis, Leaky Black have never been point guards at this level that many times before, actually. And so there's a lot of things. You have to operate a little bit differently with this team because the talent level isn't there. And we've spoken on that many, many times. Don't need to rehash it. But it's not like you have a third or fourth year point guard running things like a Marcus Page or Joel Berry or any of the guys that Roy's had. He's been so lucky at the point guard position. And now he's unlucky at the point guard position, and they've had four different guys. So things are different. So maybe you do have to coach a little differently. And how Roy gets things going the rest of the ACC slate will be a good view into, you know, how he is as a coach. Can he pull things together and win a couple games? Or is, you know, is this kind of what happens when they don't have talent? Roy doesn't have talent because he's coached at places they've always had talent. So it'll be interesting to see what happens rest of the season. And I think the ACC is not that strong. I mean, there's tons of wins left on the schedule. I was just looking at it. You know, they can go up to Pitt and they can win that game. I mean, is Miami that good? Virginia Tech, I don't know if they're that good either. NC State's beatable. Boston College, I mean, I think Duke, Florida State, Virginia, and Notre Dame and Louisville are the top teams. I think Virginia could be beatable in Chapel Hill, especially when you get Cole back. So how the next games go, we'll see how good of a coach Roy really is without talent.
Yeah, and I think it's important for people listening to this to understand that we're looking at this as from the perspective of the team as it currently exists. I think we would all agree that if they had all their working pieces, we'd have a big change in terms of how we're addressing this team. But we understand that there are 2 point guards out. I mean, the fact that Roy Williams talked about it on Monday, that, I mean, twice this year, the guy they thought was going to start the game at point guard, they found out the day of that he wasn't going to be able to play, which means you don't have any practice time to prepare for that. You're just throwing a guy in. And so I think that's, it may sound like we're just piling on, and that's not the case. We're just trying to look at this at, you know, with this current team as they are currently constructed. What is the issue? Why are they playing the way they're playing? What can possibly change to help them? If you add all these pieces back in, the conversation changes dramatically. Some people are in different roles. It becomes easier for them. But this team is struggling, and there's a lot of different reasons for it. And it's not as easy as saying, "Ah, well, Roy can't coach." Come on. We know that's not the case. But it's also a matter of, we can't say, well, Jeremiah Francis is only shooting 24% from the floor. He hasn't played in 2 years. He is put in a very difficult situation. And that's kind of what we're dealing with, is you can't just say, well, you know, all these guys aren't any good. That's not the case. They're all in unique roles. They're all having to learn on the fly. And when you're doing that and you're having to learn how to coach them and you're having to learn what you can and can't do just talent-wise, that's how you're in a position where you're 8-8 and you're 1-4 in the ACC, and you've got an uphill climb for even the NIT at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, I firmly believe that. I mean, Roy said it a few times after games that he kind of tells his players to do something and they just don't do it, and they just kind of go to the wrong spots and things like that. So, like, I mean, at this point in the season, they're what, 8-8? If they can kind of get rid of those mental blunders, which it seems like there's been way more this year than there has been last year or in the past, and whether that's the injuries, whether that's inexperience, probably all the above, then they're probably not 8-8. Yes, the Georgia Tech shooting thing dug them a hole, but that was just bizarre. I mean, you don't go 0-15 to start a game. That just doesn't happen. If they're doing the things that Roy is telling them to do, and we can say, oh, well, Roy's stuck in his ways, he's not changing things. He hasn't changed things as far as timeouts go, but he's said he's added new offenses and he's tried to make changes. They just haven't really worked. Whether that's the case of the players not grasping the initial concepts, so then the new concepts, it's like, wait, I was just about to grasp that and now we're changing. I think it's probably everything. But if they're doing what he's telling them to do, it's probably still not a great season, but I would like to think it's better than 8-8, whether that's 10-6. I mean, I think the conversation is different if those mental blunders are gone, right?
I agree with the concerning thing watching this team, and it's the most perplexing thing, is the same thing continues to happen, and that is, it can't happen over and over and over. Like, you're right. It's like you can make one mistake, but don't make the second mistake. Right. But anyway, I don't know what you do about that. You can't bench people. Well, I guess you could.
I mean, you could bench everybody. Caleb Ellis, Walker Miller in there.
Yeah, but I mean, that to me, I get the talent deficiencies. I get all that. It's making the same mistake repeatedly, and that's the most perplexing thing. Got a few more questions on the Inside Carolina On The Beat podcast, but let's take a short break. Come back. I'm going to let Ross Martin ask Greg Barnes a question. We'll be right back.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Inside Carolina on the Beat podcast. I'm Tommy Ashley, Greg Barnes, Gregory Hall, and now Ross Martin.
So, Greg, I got a question for you. I mean, we've talked about lack of talent and all this stuff, and obviously we've seen some good things from Brand Robinson and the two big men. What else can this team do to just to get better? What do you see from this team, whether it's on defense or offense or some of the X and O's things that you think they can improve on that's beyond, you know, obviously getting Cole back or things that are clear like that? Is there anything you're seeing that you think they can get better on the next couple games?
Well, I think to your point, Brandon has really stepped up, and I think Garrison has really stepped up on the court. So that's critically important. I think confidence is an issue for most everybody else. And so what happens when you lose confidence is you start having these miscues. You start wondering, can I make this play? Should I make this pass? Should I try to take this shot? I don't know how many times in the last two or three games, we've seen guys with open shots and they've just been hesitant to pull. That's not a good thing. And so I think if you're able to regain confidence, you're able to help your teammates and the coaching staff can help these guys by building confidence and letting them know that they are doing the right things and they will see success if they keep at it. That'll solve a lot of these issues. I think it was pretty clear that they're up by 10 with 2 minutes to play. And they have that one turnover, and then they just fall apart. And as Andrew Platek told us after the game, they automatically started saying, oh, we can't mess up. We can't mess up. And you cannot play basketball that way. So I think more than anything, the confidence issue is glaring. And I say that because, yes, they have too many turnovers. Yes, they're not shooting well enough. All those things come out of confidence. I mean, this is not a great shooting team. They should be able to make layups. And, Justin Pierce missed two layups last week. I don't remember if it was a Pitt game or if it was Clemson. But right at the rim. And he makes those every single day in practice. He's made those his entire life. But for whatever reason, you kind of have that lack of confidence, and it really hurts you there. I think Armando is kind of the biggest issue now. He just has a tendency to vanish. He got pushed around a little bit at Clemson. He needs to play stronger. He needs to get stronger. But he needs to trust his game. He's an incredibly talented kid. And with the way that Garrison's playing and the way that Brandon has started to play, if you can get those three guys operating at a high clip, at least offensively, and then you throw Cole Anthony back in the mix, now you got something you can work with. Now you got something that you can really start to pull in some win and help build that confidence so that you have a chance, your tournament, to try to make a run. Will it be enough? Yeah, I don't know there's enough talent on the team to do that. But I do think just a few small things like that, helping the mental aspect and getting Cole back, that would really turn the fortunes of this team very quickly.
So I'd go full on Larry Davis. And I know you guys probably don't even remember Larry Davis, but I'd come in jacking shots. Do your homework, right, Gregory. Like Platek did against Clemson. He came in and took that shot early in the thing and got himself sat almost immediately. I'd go full on Larry Davis. Anybody that was around in the early 90s knows who Larry Davis was.
But did Larry do that just because – why did he do that? He came in thinking he was going to make everything he threw up, right?
Oh, yeah. And he'd get 6 minutes a game and he was going to get shots one way or another.
I mean, Dexter Strickland is – his junior year, that's when the whole YOLO thing was big. And that joker would pull up from anywhere, and you'd be like, he can't shoot like normal shots, but here he is pulling up like clutch shot. And you like that confidence. You don't want him to go overboard with it. But, yeah, that's what I think. When you see guys tentative to take shots they normally take and have taken for years and years, I mean, that just screams, a confidence issue to me.
Oh, yeah, props to Brandon Robinson for stepping up, Garrison, and like you said, if those three guys can get it going, I think Carolina can win some games in the ACC, but the ACC is not a league to try to build your confidence against.
Nope.
Not not a No, it's just not. So it'll be interesting to see what happens from here on out. Before we get out
so
of
Tommy,
here.
Yeah, let me throw this in, Tommy.
Greg and his
stir the pot, Big G.
Oh Lord. So we're talking about, can this team make a run to the postseason? If you get Cole back, or Mondo starts to play like he did, down in the Bahamas, Jeremiah is able to come back, and all of a sudden you've got a pretty good backcourt with Francis and Cole Anthony. How good can this team be? I think we could have a long discussion about that. We won't do that right now. But in terms of the metrics, in terms of what this team is going to have to do, it's an uphill climb. And as Ross said earlier, we really talked about the first three games of this ACC slate in January being games that North Carolina had to win to be able to make a run at the NCAA tournament. And to kind of flesh that out, North Carolina currently ranks 116th in the net rankings, which is, for those who may not know, that's what's replaced the RPI for the NCAA selection committee. Carolina is 1-4 against Q1 teams, and they're 2-3 against Q3 teams, which is not good at all. And I think kind of the bigger issue is that North Carolina currently sits number 62 in strength of schedule. For some perspective, teams above them, 115 is Belmont, 114 is Loyola Chicago, New Mexico State, College of Charleston, UC Irvine, Boise State, Northern Colorado, William & Mary, Western Carolina. That will change as we get through the ACC season because North Carolina's strength of schedule will improve. But in terms of looking at ACC schools that are competing with North Carolina right now, Wake Forest, they're about 10 spots ahead. They're 105. They're 34th strength of schedule. They're also 1-4 against Q1 teams, same as UNC. They're 1-2 against Q3 teams. Georgia Tech, where's Georgia Tech on this list? I just looked at them. I'll forget that. Clemson. We'll say Clemson. Clemson's 8-7. They're 39th in strength of schedule. Q1, 1-3. Q3, 1-2. So North Carolina is below even some of the competition within the ACC. So not only is UNC going to have to close strong, I don't think 10-10 is necessarily going to get it done. But in doing so, they're going to have to win some big games. I think they only have 7 games left currently against Q1 teams. So, and of course, as everybody knows, that's 2 games against Duke, that's Louisville, that's Florida State. I think at Pitt even counts in that, with that being a road game. So that's a big opportunity next week. But a lot of work ahead of them, regardless of how they play. So you really have to look at it in 2 steps. 1, they have to play better. And as they get some of these pieces back, hopefully, you're going to see them improve dramatically. But then it becomes, okay, we're so late in the year. Are they playing well enough to win enough games to make it interesting in March?
UNC had what, 7 quarter Q1 wins last year? Is that right?
Sounds right. Typically it's more than that, but yeah, that sounds right.
We'll run with it. I think, yeah. I don't even want to get into what they have to do to make any postseason tournament, much less NCAA. Last question. Greg, who wins, Clemson or LSU? Folks listening to this will hear this after the game. So what's
we doing spread? We doing spread?
No, we're, straight we're up score prediction.
Straight up score position.
I think the Tigers going to win.
I agree with Ross. Yeah, I think Ross.
You guys are the worst.
Y'all suck. Gregory, you want the man up? You want to be the man on this podcast and make a prediction?
Clemson 37-28.
No way. Clemson 49-45. How's that?
LSU doesn't score until their last drive of the first half.
You're crazy. After your Auburn rant last week, you were delirious.
I'm not. Okay. After my Auburn rant, you would think I would have SEC bias, but I do not.
If somebody scores in the 20s, they're going to get blown out.
I'm picking LSU. I think LSU is going to win. I don't think Clemson's defense is that strong. Got exposed by
they're like one of the best defenses in the country, man.
I'm going to go Clemson 44-39.
Like 22, 23?
Now Gregory brings energy.
I know, really, man. No energy to talk about Carolina basketball.
You know, he's riled up. What division?
LSU
in?
SEC West, baby.
SEC West.
That's right. SEC West. We got some characters down there.
Who's we?
Against your, we your babies.
Now. Lane Kiffin, Mike Leach. It's going to be a fun division. We should migrate.
You're still Auburn. I'm going to wrap the show. All right. Boys, it's been fun. On the Beat podcast, Inside Carolina, okay. Ross Martin, Greg Barnes, Gregory Hall. I'm going to mute you, Gregory. We're done. Appreciate y'all joining me.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.